Today's Issues continues on AFR.
Today's Issues continues on AFR. That's a very simple intro. And it has to be simple because the regular gang's all away. With Fred Jackson sitting in for the vacationing Tim Wildman and the vacationing Ed Vitagliano and the deer hunting Walker Wildman. And we're just wondering how Walker's doing out there in that deer stand. Going out early, freezing, hoping to get a white-tailed deer. But Walker will be back tomorrow. Ed, as we say, probably watching every hockey game that's available over the next several days from his armchair there, wherever he is. All right, good to be with you today. Just to briefly go over our main story that we've been talking about today, the Judge Roy Moore U.S. Senate campaign putting out a very lengthy press release last night dealing with several individuals who refute the story of one Beverly Nelson. You remember her having this news conference last week that most of the major networks covered. She says she was a former waitress at this Old Hickory House restaurant in Gadsden, Alabama. And she is the one who made the accusation that Roy Moore was a regular customer there and at that at one incident that he sexually assaulted her. The testimony that is coming from these other individuals is they also, in one case, Rhonda Ledbetter said she worked at that same restaurant for 3 years, that same period, 77 to 79. Never saw Roy Moore once in that restaurant. Also, a retired sheriff from the area said he was a frequent customer at the restaurant. Never saw Roy Moore there. And also another waitress. Rhonda Ledbetter also saying that she has taken her side of the story to several media outlets in Alabama. And as of this morning, at least, they have not published her side of the story. So the Roy Moore story will continue to unfold. It is still a he says, she says story out there. But at least we have now another side to the testimony from those who have accused Roy Moore, at least from Beverly Nelson. So we'll see what has happened. But as I say, as of 10 o'clock Central Time this morning, most of the major media have not covered that aspect of the story, have not referenced this press release from the Roy Moore campaign, and certainly not talked about and reported on the testimony of these individuals. And as we've already discussed, there's just this epidemic, it seems right now, of stories that seem to come out. We had the Charlie Rose story from CBS News yesterday, and now early this morning, the report from BuzzFeed on Democrat Congressman John Conyers. And the report is that he paid out, I think it was $27,000, to staff members who accused him of sexual improper behavior in his office. And I believe there's a report that he has denied that happening. So on and on it goes. We also have Ray Pritchard in Dallas holding down the fort there. Ray, welcome back.
Hey, thank you. Thanks, Fred. Great to be with you.
Also, all of us getting ready for Thanksgiving and getting ready for a break. But Steve Jordahl, one of our fine reporters for American Family News, still has lots to work to do, Steve, right?
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about. And I was, when you were talking and introducing us, Fred, it just we know where we fall in the pecking order.
Yeah.
Because we're here and everybody else is gone. The next level down from
The real power brokers are out.
Right. They're gone. So the next level down, if they had to go one more level down, it would be me and the janitor who are going to host this show and, if they decide to go on Christmas Day or something like that. So
there just, we are.
That's where we're at. Right. Yeah, a lot of stuff happening. And you were mentioning the all these sexual allegations going around. You were talking last hour about the $14 million fund, or the fund that we don't know how much is in the fund, but $14 million has been paid out for allegations of sexual abuse in Congress and allegations of other issues in Congress. So if someone is accusing a congressman of violating the Americans with Disability Act because their door isn't wide enough for the wheelchair to get into and they needed to do a lawsuit, that's where that money would come from too. So we don't want to make it sound like there's $14 million worth of sexual allegations going on, but we had a discussion earlier, you and I, Fred, about should those names of the men and women who, or maybe it's all men, who have been used that fund. The fund has paid out four accusations against these people. Should those names be public? And we had a discussion. There's some pros to that, and there's some, I think there's some cons to that. But I was talking with a friend of mine, Congressman from Indiana, Jim Banks. He and I had been friends for years before he got into politics, actually. And I asked him the same question about disclosing the names. And cut four, Brent. This is what he had to say.
The public deserves to know where their tax dollars are being spent. There shouldn't be a secret fund that is spent to settle cases without those involved being disclosed to the public. I believe fundamentally in more transparency, and this is a case where transparency is deserved.
So he says publish the names.
Yeah. What would be the argument, Steve, against putting the names out there?
Well, here's the argument in my mind against putting the names. Let's just do a math thing. Supposing that a number of the accusations, any number of those accusations, are just people who want to shake down Congress, who are angry at a congressman for voting on a something, and so they accuse this guy of sexual assault. Supposing that the Solicitor General of the United States says, you know what, it's not worth the $400,000 it would take to mount a case and try it in federal court for the years that would go through. It's easier just this person, if we can pay him $20,000 right now and have it done with. That was the intention, some of the intention of that fund. And in that case, it would save taxpayers money. But having those names out there would forever put a stain on that person's name. And the question then, I guess, for you, Ray, is it worth maybe having four or five or six or X number of members of Congress who are innocent but yet stained with a reputation in order to hold accountable the public money and those that are guilty?
Well, in that very believable scenario, isn't the real problem then we're paying off people at, let's say exactly, it happened exactly the way you just said. The Solicitor General said, well, look, we can't spend $400,000. So really you're paying off people who made accusations you believe aren't true just to get them out of your hair, and you're doing it with public money. Boy, that's bad. I can see your point, Steve. I mean, I can see it, but isn't behind all this the fact that a false accusation, or one that simply could not be proven, but you paid them to make them go away, isn't that a very bad precedent?
It might be a bad precedent, but in most of these cases, Ray, as you know, by definition, almost by definition, a sexual assault is something that happens away from the public view.
Right.
It's more than
There's
likely
always
90%, I would say, if not more, of these allegations will not have a single other witness as to the actual act, act of sexual impropriety. And so you're then left to look into the character of the accused. You're then charged with looking into the character of the accuser. And then what it does basically is if the first person comes forward, generally you're going to have someone saying, well, this is the first time that anybody's ever been accused of this. All sides are equal. We have to err on the side of the sitting member of Congress.
Okay.
You get a free pass, basically.
All right. Let me flip it around the other way. What about cases where the guy is guilty, or whoever it is guilty, and money was paid from the fund to basically make the victim go away, give him money?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. Shouldn't that be made public?
There's an argument for that. I'm not really arguing personally from one side or the other, but I'm giving you the other the sides. So here's where I agree with you, Ray. A member of Congress, or anybody, frankly, in this world, a man does not go to bed one night after having interacted with women his whole life, looking them in the eye, treating them with utmost respect, and wake up the next morning and discover that all of a sudden that woman has features that he wants to grab, and he's all of a sudden going to start abusing them. I mean, it doesn't happen like that. There's, for everybody, I feel fairly confident in saying that everyone who has actually abused a woman in this predatory manner that we're talking about with all of these celebrities. It worked up to that, and it probably started with pornography. And it probably, after they've met whatever pornography can give them in the sense of sexual excitement, and they've gone past that because at some point I think that runs out, and they still need, it's like a drug addiction, you need more and more, and they move on to women, and then I think they would, to real physical people, and then I think it would start with maybe people would start noticing him lingering, his eyes lingering a little too long on an attractive woman, and then it might go to an inappropriate joke, and then it might go on to the side hug or whatever.
Sure.
It's just a little too long, and the hand is just a little too low, and then it progresses until the point where he crosses the line, and there's no bright line on what that is. So to your point, there is going to be some kind of history, some kind of suspicion on a man who is guilty. It doesn't happen out of the blue.
You know, I think, guys, and you know, there's been so many stories, and I think this goes back several months when it all started with the Fox News lawsuits, et cetera, and a number of high-profile figures, Bill O'Reilly being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to believe, Ray and Steve, that in offices across this country right now, there's a lot of thinking rethinking going on about, and I'll get your comments first, Ray, about, at the very least, there is a huge increase in sensitivity to all of this. And for reasons of protecting our female employees, but also protecting the reputation of male employees who may be falsely accused, we have got to put some things in place that at the very least are going to minimize these kinds of things happening in our offices. You know, and I'm thinking back, and it's been mentioned a couple of times in the last 24 hours. You remember when Vice President Mike Pence came out with his statements about how through the years that he has dealt with women, he's close physically to his wife, and that is it. I mean, I think he shakes hands with a female colleague, and he was made fun of. You know, he was talking, you know, Puritan values and all of this kind of thing, and he was poked fun at, but you know what? I'm sure some of those people who made fun of Vice President Pence are now saying, maybe he's got a good idea there.
Yeah.
He's been vindicated 100%. 100%. You know, and I want to add something. Fred, you know, we had Frank Turek on last hour.
Mm.
I think it's a good thing when women finally feel it's safe. When they have been, their accusations, when they have been mistreated, let's say that, when they have suffered assault or mistreatment and it's been brushed under the rug and they have been disbelieved, I'm glad the facts in those cases are coming out. It's hard to judge when we have the avalanche of cases, but clearly some stuff has been going on behind the scenes across the country that is finally coming out. Ultimately, that doesn't mean I believe everything everybody says, right?
No.
Test all things, the Bible says, and we have to form our own opinions. But I do think it's good that women who felt for years they couldn't speak out, now at last are finding a place that when they have been mistreated and abused, that they can come out. And whether that's in an office, whether that's in the White House, or frankly, whether that's inside a local church, I think it's good when, because after all, you shall know the truth, and what the truth will set you free. So I think overall, it's good for us as a society that women feel free. And also, let's not believe everything we hear. Give time for the dust to settle. I've got my hands up in the air right now, guys, to show the two sides to this, right? But I'm glad that they at least feel free to come forward, some women who've suffered greatly for many, many years.
Yes, indeed. Well, I agree with you 100%. I think as everything that we go through in society that's kind of like this cultural momentous shift, it starts out with legitimate stuff, and it will devolve eventually into some sort of a witch hunt. Somebody's going to get caught up in this that's going to be a revenge or a partisan something that's going to be blatant, and someone's going to get caught trying to accuse somebody of it, and it's not going to be accurate, and then this is going to kind of simmer down. But I hope we've learned in this whole process what you're saying, Ray, which is that women should have the ability to express and relate their history and their discomfort and what's happened to them without being marginalized, without people telling them that they were asking for it because of how they dressed or whatever. There's all those discussions that this has tentacles reaching in and around our society in so many ways, and I hope we end up in a new normal that's more conducive to light on this whole situation. That's what I have to say.
All right. Well, this story will continue. Let's move on to another topic, Steve.
Yeah, a couple things just I wanted to hit briefly. Talk show Mark Levin has signed a little contract with Fox News. He's going to do a weekly show, and it's going to be called Life, Liberty, and Levin, and it's going to be a weekend primetime show. Mm-hmm. Mark Levin, I listened to him on the way home upon occasion. I just think he has one of the more remarkable minds and really concentrates on fidelity to the Constitution in matters. Do you listen much to Mark Levin, Ray?
I do, and he's one of those guys, when you listen to him, your mouth kind of drops because he apparently, he knows almost everything, and he's quick. There are people who know stuff, but they can't get it on the tip of their tongue. Mark Levin, especially on issues of the Constitution, constitutional history, he's right there. There's hardly anybody better. So kudos to Fox News for giving him a weekend program. I think he's going to be very good at it, very successful.
I do too, and I have a feeling it won't be long until he's moved into some sort of a weekday slot, a daily.
I hope
probably.
So.
Yeah, yeah, that would be a good idea. Now, we've been talking about privacy issues,
yes,
Steve.
Yes, we have.
You have another story that kind of alarmed me when you mentioned it to me this morning.
It does. Apparently, what we're finding out is that there are programs that a company can use to track what you do on their website. And it's understandable if you get a report that says so many people visited your website, they clicked on this page, they did that, but it goes way beyond that.
Are you know, cookies, that's...
Well, cookies are basically is it's something that the company sends your computer to remind your computer where you've been and what you've done and what you do on those websites.
Okay.
Which means if you've been to a website for your insurance company, for example, and you've filled out a form,
right,
a cookie would allow you to not have to go back and fill the whole thing out again the second time you make a claim or something like that.
So it's meant to be a benefit.
It's meant to be a benefit. And what we're talking here goes way beyond cookies. So there are programs that are designed to track your keystrokes, your mouse movement in real time. And what we're finding is hundreds of sites, including Microsoft.com, Adobe.com, and GoDaddy.com, employ scripts that record visitors' keystrokes, mouse movements, scrolling behavior in real time. And it's done even before you press enter. And even if you do those mouse movements and then you get out of the site without doing anything.
So this is not just going to their websites. This is actually tracking. If I go to the weather.com, it's tracking my movement to that website?
If weather.com uses these programs.
Ah.
So basically, these programs are designed to help site operators better understand how visitors interact with their web page.
So basically, you're saying you go to one of these websites, you could start to type something in, let's say, I don't know, a comment or something. Okay, let's make it better. You're going to make a really snarky comment,
right,
and you think better of it, and you delete it so you never hit post.
Right.
They know what you were going to post, even though you didn't hit the post
right
button.
If that company uses
right
those things. Now, when I say that it includes Microsoft and Adobe and GoDaddy, That's Microsoft.com's website. If you go to Microsoft.com, it doesn't mean that because you use Word or you go to another site that's affiliated that they're going to track it. Let me give you a sense of proportion of the numbers. It's not everybody. The site study published last week reported that 482 out of 50,000 most trafficked websites employ such scripts. So, but we don't know who. And these are legitimate marketing. They say legitimate, but they're doing this so they can understand how their website work, improve their website so you go to the right place. But can you imagine the trouble if a nefarious actor got a hold of this and wanted to find out anything about you? Your bank passwords, your PIN, all your health information, anything that you have to interact with a computer, if somebody that had evil intent. And we've already seen, remember, not that long ago, we had a problem with someone hacking into the NSA and the government websites mm-hmm. and doing an incredible amount of damage because they took all the tools that the FBI uses to unlock phones and to hack websites, and they published them. So,
one of the implications of this, Steve, is that people like you and me, who, what I mean is not, we don't run some tech empire. There's nothing that you and I can do about it. We won't even know about it, right?
Yeah, no.
So it's not as if we can, there is no defense against that. Other than a point I have made before on the air, if you think it, don't say it. If you say it, don't write it. If you write it, don't be surprised.
That's scary. I just want to know a question, because this is the time of the year when a lot of people are buying things online.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So I go in, and I'm going to buy a jacket mm-hmm. from someone. So I start to put my credit card numbers in there. All right? So I'm getting from this that maybe I changed my mind on the sale and I decide not to buy, but because I've already keyed the number
right.
of my account
in. That's exactly
in,
right. Mm-hmm. They know what you were thinking about.
They know what I was thinking about, but they also have my credit card number.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, that's not very good.
Well, no, it isn't. And we're finding more and more things that are concerning about the web. We've always,
right.
it's always been something to teach your kids that nothing is private in on the web. But this goes a step and a half or 10 steps beyond anything that I'd ever thought of as well. So,
yeah, on that cheery note, happy shopping, folks.
Yeah, thank you. Just a note to people who've been listening in on this conversation, if you want to know more about the whole Roy Moore, the press release that he did with his description of why some testimony is not credible, we've now posted that at onenewsnow.com. Go to onenewsnow.com, and we've got the latest up on that.
It's also on our Today's Issues Facebook page.
It's also on our Today's Issues Facebook page. Thank you.
Well, Brent. And a couple minutes ago, it just broke. CBS didn't just suspend Charlie Rose. They have now fired him. Mm-hmm. So he's gone.
Well, he apologized for it, and his co-host this morning on CBS This Morning also did not hold back. They expressed publicly how disgusted they were with all of this. Hey, listen, it's a world that needs Jesus Christ.
Amen, 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 amen.
That's right.
That is the bottom line. And to go back to our interview with Steve Tiber, you know, people need Jesus. And we are his missionaries. And that is our hope. At the end of the day, that's our hope.
Right.
It is wise to put certain procedures into place, but at the end of the day, it is to get at the heart. And only Jesus can do that.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. Good to be with you, folks. We got to run. More great programming ahead here on American Family Radio. Ray, have a great Thanksgiving. We'll see you again next week.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you and to Steve as well.
Thanks,
all right.
Ray.
Take care.